Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Week 14 action. I'm Kyle, the team of the game. To my right, the always punctual and prepared Weasel and Chris, ready to bring you lots and just a whole ton of action. Not as much as we suspected due to, structural damage with Minnesota, but that won't affect this episode since this is the AFC edition. But anyways, something funny to talk about.
Hey, I want to apologize for being late. You know, I was trying to get Michael Vick's autograph, but I was stuck behind some sharp choice.
Moving on with the AFC edition here, going to open up with the Colts facing off against the Titans. Yet another Thursday night featured game. The Colts edged out the Titans 30-28. Peyton Manning had 25 for 35 throws. What's significant there, gentlemen? Less than 50. 71%, 319 yards, and 2 touchdowns. Gary Collins completed 28 passes, threw 39 times for 72%, had 244 yards and 3 touchdowns. Yes, I know, I was surprised too. Javaris James of the Colts had 17 carries for 49 yards with a touchdown. And also, Donald Brown, had an appearance in this game, 15 carries for 38 yards, 2.5 a carry. Calvin Johnson. So Weasel, as a disgruntled, two disgruntled owners of Chris Johnson on the show. You have Chris Johnson in your fantasy team too, right, Chris? Yeah. So 22 carries for 111 yards and a touchdown. Do we like him again?
He picked it up in the playoffs, so he's all right.
And also not to mention 8 catches, 68 yards in the air. In the air for the Colts altogether, Widgie Wayne led the charge with 4 catches for 106 yards. Pierre Garçon, 6 catches, 93 yards with 2 touchdowns. And Blair White, 7 catches for 52 yards.
And the pass broken down.
That's right. Excellent offense by the defense by the offense.
Well, that was on Reggie Wayne. It was a pass for Reggie Wayne, and Blair White went up for it and kind of was in the way when the ball was going perfectly to Reggie Wayne.
So it was excellent defense by the offense. I don't see how I'm wrong. Apparently he's on the Titans payroll, too. I didn't know that. More on that. Nate Washington had 3 catches for 48 yards for the Titans. Rookie tight end Craig Stevens had 3 catches for 20 yards and a touchdown. But saving the best for this part, the tight end we all know and love,
Bo Scaife,
4 catches, 20 yards, 2 touchdowns. We also mentioned Kenny Britt here at 4 catches for 39 yards and a fumble. There was also a fumble by the long snapper Tim Amatu. So turnover count being 2 for the Titans, 0 for the Colts, making the difference in a 2-point game. Also, the fact that there was, I'm not going to sit here and say that the Colts had a strong running game, but it was more of one than they're used to. They ran the ball 32 times, which is a big difference. So, moving over to the next matchup, this week's awesome, super close divisional rivalry with the Steelers between the Bengals. Weasel, go.
The Steelers at home defeated the division rival, the Bengals, 23-7. For the Steelers, Big Ben Roethlisberger was 21 of 33, 63%, 258 yards, no touchdowns, no INTs, sacked 3 times. In the running game, Rashard Mendenhall had 18 rushes for 66 yards, 3.7 average. Big Ben had 3 for 23, Melody Moore had 4 for 18, 4.5 average, and Mike Wallace had a 12-yard run. The receiving game, Hines Ward showing up, 8 catches for 115 yards. Mike Wallace had 5 for 78. Rookie wide receiver Antonio Brown had 3 for 27. Antoine Randall had 2 for 19.
Steelers receivers and Hines Ward showing up smiling.
Yeah. Word.
See, it's funny because Hines Ward always smiles. Anyway.
For the Bengals, Carson Palmer was 20 of 32, 62%, 178 yards, 1 touchdown, 3 INTs. 2 of those INTs were returned for touchdowns. One was a 45-yarder by safety Troy Polamalu as he leapt into the end zone, and the other was a 14-yard return by linebacker Lamar Woodley. Palmer was sacked 3 times. In the running game, Cedric Benson had 8 rushes for 19 yards, 2.4 average, and Bernard Scott had 4 for 15, 3.8 average. Receiving, Chad Ochocinco had 6 catches for 71 yards. Benson and rookie wide receiver Jordan Shipley each had 3 for 26. Terrell Owens had a 22-yard reception. Brian Leonard had 2 for 17. And first drive of the game on the 1-yard line, tackle Andrew Whitworth reported as an eligible receiver and caught a wide-open 1-yard touchdown.
Tackle eligible! Woo!
There was 2 of them yesterday. There was one in the Philly game, too, last night.
Okay,
nice.
Yeah. Actually, I think they've done that before previously in the season. So, you may have said this, Weasel, but I will repeat it because it's worth mentioning. Steelers offense managing zero touchdowns. Truly, truly. I mean, I don't know if you get worried, but you're the Steelers fan. Speak up.
Well, they've been winning games. I mean, they beat Baltimore, and that was a low-scoring game. So, I mean, it's defense and running games. They win championships, so they're doing good so far.
You only play as good as your opponent, usually. So if you have to play down to your opponent sometimes, you know, usually you try to play up. But when you're the better team, you just go against these opponents that aren't that great. I mean,
feel free to listen to the NFC edition of our show to see the antithesis of Chris's theory. But with that, we'll head over to a different game that seemed to be the antithesis of professional football. This was a joke, as we talk about the Finns and the Jets. Chris.
With two teams fighting for a playoff spot, the other team showed up in a boring 10-6 Dolphins win. 13 of the 16 points came from turnovers from good field position. So there's only one drive that led to 3 points the whole game.
Awesome. That didn't involve a turnover, mind you. Yeah, right.
No, it didn't. That was it. 10 of them came from the 13 of the 16 points.
Like you said, it was a fight for a playoff spot, and when you say a fight, it's still true, but it's like when two middle school girls get into a fight, you know, and they're kind of slapping and nothing's really happening. I mean,
it's like the defense showed up, but I mean, there was 11 sacks in the game.
Wow.
So the defense showed up, the offense just stayed in, you know, the rain and it's cold, and I don't want to go out there.
You know, Cameron Wake versus Bart Scott, I mean, whatever.
Yeah. For the Dolphins, Chad Henne, 5 of 18. 28%, 55 yards, one touchdown. He lost two fumbles, and he was sacked 5 times. For the Jets, Mark Sanchez, 17 of 44, 39%, 216 yards, 0 touchdowns, 1 interception, 1 lost fumble, and he was sacked 6 times. On the ground for the Dolphins, Ronnie Brown, 16 carries, 55 yards, 3.4 average with a lost fumble. Ricky Williams, 10 for 34, 3.4. LaDainian Tomlinson for the Jets, 19 for 49, 2.6. Sean Green at 2 for 20, 10-yard average. Through the air, there wasn't much for the Dolphins, like I said, 55 yards. So, Pisano had 2 for 33. Brandon Marshall had 2 for 16. Devon Beth had 1 for 6. For the Jets, Jericho Cotchery had 5 for 69.
All right.
3 for 34 for Dustin Keller. Sean Green, 3 for 20. And Santonio Holmes had 2 for 57. On this, the Jets had 14 first downs, Dolphins 6. Total yards, 280 for the Jets, 131 for the Finns. Big turnovers, there's 5 turnovers, 3 for the Dolphins, 2 for the Jets. Time of possession, Jets had the ball 7 minutes longer. But third down conversions, Dolphins 3 for 15, 20%. The Jets 6 for 21, 29%.
So the Jets dominated every offensive category and some defensive ones and still lost.
They did lose the punting category because the Dolphins punter, Brandon Fields, had 10 punts and averaged 56.4 yards a punt.
That's pretty
in
good.
In the cold rain.
And his long was 69.
All right.
But there's controversy now and everything. Jets strength conditioning coach Sal Alosi tripped the Dolphins rookie gunner Nolan Carroll while he was running down the field to recover a punt.
You know, I was listening to Mike and Mike in the morning this morning, and I think for once Mike Golic nailed this one when he said, anyone who's played football has had the urge to do that. They just don't act on it.
Except for this guy.
Yeah, so...
But the turning point in the game was in the second quarter when the Jets had the ball on the Dolphins' 18-yard line. Santonio Holmes ran like a post-corner route. Dropped the wide-open pass in the end zone.
We're talking at least 5-10 yards from away.
I think
from
he was the only
corner.
One in the end zone. It was in the back left corner of the end zone. And just perfectly coming into his arm, just hit off his chest right down to the ground.
He'll never be a Super Bowl MVP. Dang it.
That was the game changer right there. They had a settle for a field goal. They're already down 10-0 at the point, so that made it 10-3 instead of 10-7. That could have been the changer right there, what the Jets offense was looking for.
It could have been the case cracker. Well, if you put in the 4 points difference, that's just overtime.
Right. But then also, I mean, you got to look at, I mean, Rex Ryan quoted after the game, yeah, I was thinking in the third quarter of replacing Sanchez.
Mm-hmm.
Well, why didn't you? Like, 2 weeks in a row, he was horrible. I mean,
in the first quarter, you were calling for Brunel. I'm just saying.
Yeah, I mean, the second possession when he threw the ball that the Dolphins corner dropped, and then like a couple plays later, the other corner intercepted it. So I mean, it led to the touchdown.
I mean, the last time I saw games like this from any passing offense probably involved John Beck. Oh, too soon, Dolphin fan. Anyways, with that, we'll go to a Florida team that was actually in a very interesting game. That was also close. That was actually worth watching. Weasel, Jags Raiders.
The Jaguars remained at the top of the AFC South with their 38-31 home victory over the Raiders. For the Jags, David Garrard was 11 of 22, 50%, 159 yards, 3 touchdowns, 1 INT, sacked twice. In the running game, Rashard Jennings had 5 rushes for 109 yards, which included a 74-yard touchdown. Maurice Jones-Drew, also known as Mojo, had 23 for 101, 4.4 average with a 30-yard touchdown. Garrard had 5 scrambles for 32 yards. For the receiving game, tight end Mercedes Lewis had 4 catches for 57 yards and a touchdown. Jason Hill had a 48-yard touchdown reception. Michael Sims-Walker had 2 for 23 with a touchdown. Mojo added 3 for 19. For the Raiders, Jason Campbell was 21 of 30, 70%, 324 yards, 2 touchdowns, no INTs. He was sacked 3 times. Early in the fourth quarter, Jaguars cornerback William Middleton forced a fumble that was returned for a touchdown, but it was called back due to a helmet-to-helmet hit on Campbell. He had to sit after that hit, and in came, to the dismay of Raiders fans, Kyle Bowler.
Kyle, I should have been a bowler.
1 of 3 for 20 yards, and here's a shocker. He threw an interception.
Holy crap!
Campbell then finished the game.
So let's put this in perspective, though. 3 attempts, 1 incomplete for 20 yards, 1 incompletion, and an interception.
So he was 2 for 3.
2 for 3.
1 for 3.
No, he's 2 for 3. Completed the interception.
Well, okay, right.
The guy got it. Hey.
In the running game, Darren McFadden, 16 rushes for 123 yards, 7.7 average with 2 touchdowns. Michael Bush had 5 for 22, 4.4 average, and fullback Marcel Reese had 2 for 3. In the receiving game, McFadden had 3 catches for 86 yards and a touchdown. Tight end Zach Miller had 4 for 68. Lewis Murphy had 4 for 59 and a touchdown. Reese had 4 for 48. Jacoby Ford had 2 for 43, but lost a fumble on a kickoff return in the mid-third quarter, which led to a Jaguars touchdown. And Darius Hayward-Bey had 2 for 40. With 5:33 left in the game, the Raiders got the ball down 31-24. Campbell led a drive downfield, and McFadden capped it off with a 36-yard touchdown run with 2:03 remaining. Tied at 31-all, rookie kickoff returner Dejon Kareem gave the Jaguars great field position with a 65-yard run. First play of the drive, Maurice Jones-Drew wastes no time, taking it to the house for a 30-yard touchdown to answer McFadden's run.
He run ball far.
Yeah. Campbell got the Raiders to the 32-yard line with 18 seconds left, but was sacked by defensive end Jeremy Mincy, and the Raiders were forced to take their final timeout. Campbell completed a 16-yard pass to Jacoby Ford, but the Raiders ran out of time.
So, yeah, I mean, simply put, Jags couldn't lose a step in this game because otherwise, you know, the Colts would be right on them. I think they play again, not this week, but the week after?
No, next week.
So this Sunday?
Yeah,
this
Sunday will come out.
So, kind of a big deal, that.
What was the halftime before this game? It was kind of weak. The Jags were losing. It was like a tale of two halves again with them. They couldn't do anything in the first half, and then they came back in the second half.
You see the way it is with them.
Well, yeah.
Well, no, certainly. Usually it's the other way around. Usually they come out firing the first half like they have the last few weeks.
It switched it up, though.
Well, yeah.
Switched it up.
Here's what it is. The Jags were down 17-7 at half.
Right.
And then got 31 points in the second half, which certainly, as Weasel mentioned, featured a very busy Maurice Jones-Drew. So, they head into Indianapolis. That's obviously got to be another game where Mojo was hot. I was at the first matchup that was in Jacksonville. The key to that, for my money, is obviously going to be pressing Peyton Manning and getting a lot of good defense like they did last time. Not so much that they did, that they slowed the offense from moving at all, but on big third and long plays, keeping keeping Peyton off the field when those occurred. So that was definitely the key, again, to make that happen. I mean, it's kind of repetitive because we talked about it weeks back, but it still holds true. The good news being some people did come back. Donald Brown back at running back, so that will help. But they're still severely injured for the most part.
The Colts ended with 5 offensive linemen, so
yeah,
they're hurting on the offensive line,
which they've been doing pretty much all season anyway. So yeah. With that, let's have a moment here with let me get some opinions on the Atlanta Falcons. Them being the top of the NFC is just strange sounding to me. We know why the Bears are there, okay? I can pick out 3 games off the bat that they won that they could have arguably not. Especially with what we saw this past Sunday. More on that next show. But I can't take them seriously. I mean, help me out here, guys. What do you got?
I don't know much about their defense, but offense, I mean, they're pretty balanced. I mean, Matt Ryan, you got Jenkins, he's got a running game, you got a
Michael
tight
Burner,
end.
Gonzalez.
So, I mean, they're balanced on offense, and when you have a good running game, you can also control the clock. So, they're playing good football, and I think what it comes down to is they're playing some close games, but they're
coming
they're
on the correct side of
the
game.
Yeah.
The difference between this year and last year, though, I mean, they got Duncan Robinson from Texas.
Yeah.
As over on the secondary now, so that firms up one of the corner spots.
Well,
that
kind of
helped them out this year. I mean, they said they're just getting enough. They're doing enough to win games. That's the thing. They're not getting, I mean, their losses, they're not getting really blown out. And they're just, the wins, they're not really blowing out any team either. They're literally close games, but they're just getting enough done to win the game.
All right. Well, with that, this very quick and short edition of the Week 14 AFC will come to a close. Go ahead and check out the site, www.thestoonthegame.com, if you're not listening from there already. You could possibly be listening from your subscription on iTunes. You can find us there. Follow us on Twitter, then you'll know exactly when the post goes up, at the SOTG. And if you have any comments you'd like to drop on the show, you can do it either at the website or by emailing us at thesotg@gmail.com. Till then, we'll see you in the NFC edition of Week 14.